All right, this is pretty amazing. Out of Los Angeles, an explosion Saturday at a hash oil plant. 11 firefighters who had gone inside and on the roof tried to knock the fire down, and then all of a sudden this thing just flamed out, and it's really scary footage. You just see them all running down the ladder, and holy crap, we're very lucky that... We're not talking about any deaths this morning.
Absolutely.
But the video's on our Chaz and AJ Facebook page. About 45 seconds in, it just becomes unbelievable. Where people a block away just start running down the street, running away from this. That's how hot and big this fire got in a very short period of time. Obviously, and to watch those guys come down the ladder, you're just like, get out. Tom G, fire chief, on the phone. What'd you think?
Yeah, I felt like you. That was scary, buddy. Yeah. That was frightening. And you know, if it wasn't for the, I think we would have lost some people. But the engine company officer who was inside on the first line said things just weren't right. You know, I guess they had a line in operation. It was getting hotter and it was getting darker. And smart, he said, "Let's get out of here. This is not going well." And and it went on them. Yeah, it went on them on the way out. They're already starting to make their exit when it took off.
Okay, that's great. Imagine that.
That helped.
Oh, yeah, it was didn't help. It was the key decider. That was everything. Yeah. So they were on the roof?
Or no, in the building? The engine company officer went through the front doors. They forced entry. They went through the front steel doors, and they're making their way towards the rear of the building where the fire was. I think they had a line in operation because you might hit it a little bit as you advance, and it was just getting worse and worse. And he goes, "This is not good." And he said, "Let's go," which something is not an easy decision to make. You usually want to get to it and get it out.
Right.
But he was smart. He said, "Nope, too much, not good, let's go." And they were on the way out. They were exiting the door when that happened.
Also, you see the guys coming down the ladder. Those guys were on the roof, right?
Yeah, part of standard operations would be to get a crew on the roof. They can tell you by what's going on, where the fire is, where parts of the roof could be bubbling. They might open up some ventilation to help that engine crew get closer to the fire by releasing the heat in the building. Sometimes they can make it light up a little bit when they vent it. Or they can make, and they also make it so that it increases visibility inside the building. And you could find the fire a lot faster. Bad caveat to that is sometimes you make a fire that's ready to go, you feed it. What happened.
You put a hole in the roof? Hash oil plant. So what looked like happened is that whatever the liquid is that's flammable, the fire found it.
Well, we had a class on how to make this as part of our training. Not that we make this, but, you know, some of the dangers involved in some of these processes. And they use butane. What they do is they take liquid butane and they pass it through the marijuana, and it strips the oil out of the marijuana. And then the butane evaporates, and they're left with the oil.
You sure you learned this in a class?
Yeah, really. How are your brownies, by the way?
I feel like you missed the class at Shelton High. And then,
those were different classes.
All right.
But, yeah, so tons of butane in the building. If you had to pay me to guess, if I had to put wager down, I would say, you know, they had a butane leak and it just boomed.
Jesus.
You know, because if you saw the flame front and how rapid it came out and how high it was, I know you saw the video.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It was seconds. You know, a normal fire won't do that unless it's some sort of flammable vapor in the air.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We're lucky.
And
those guys are, they got a couple guys on a ventilator right now. But, I mean, they're still lucky. They say they're going to be fine. I was reading the doctor's reports, you know, what they could tell you, and they're all going to be okay. When you breathe in hot vapors, it singes your lungs, it irritates them, and they start to swell, and it starts to fill with fluid. That's just normal, so they put them on a ventilator ahead of time, and they say the guys are going to be fine. So apparently it wasn't too bad.
Do you guys train on running down a ladder? Because, you know, you train on climbing it and climbing down. Those guys were booking down the ladder.
Right.
You don't have to train for that. When you're on fire,
yeah,
you will motivate.
Yeah.
right.
Instinct.
As they say, fire is inspirational.
Yeah. We don't train guys to run down a ladder because it's very unsafe. If they trip and fall, it's bad. But when you're on fire, you will motivate. And you saw motivation.
I saw a lot of motivation there.
Yeah. But
it looked like something went, like all the guys are running down the ladder, and it looked like something went off the side. And I thought to myself, oh, God, I hope that's not a person. Is that a jacket or did you notice that? Something went off the side of the ladder. Oh, maybe it was someone's tools.
It could have been. Listen, when you're in full evacuation mode, even though the tools are expensive and the department really does not like you losing their very expensive tools, everything goes. They could have had a saw. They could have threw the saw off, whatever. Rope, saw, whatever. You just, eject everything and get going.
Let me see. Me or the saw? Me.
Yeah, right?
Hey, I'll deal with the abuse later.
Yeah, it depends on who the chief is, though.
Right? Catch his chief!
Boom!
Right. I want to save the saw! Thanks for stopping with your head!
Catch this with your head! Right. Dunk!
Of course he saw.
Scary.
Have you guys had anything like that in Stanford where a fire just, it's one level, then the next thing you know, all hell breaks loose?
We did prior to me getting on a job. I think it was in 84, 85. We had a chemical processing plant, and the guys opened up the front door, and the whole building kaboomed. It burned a bunch of guys really good. Like, I think five or six guys got burned. It was national news. And back then, we had the clothing was nylon pants, because the nylon uniform pants.
Oh, no.
As opposed to the fire retardant, and some of the stuff melted right on their junk, if you will. And it was, everything melted to everybody,
Like shrink wrap, yep. Yeah.
So that must have been the fire that changed it nationally in terms of standards of what firefighters wear, right?
It very well may have been. I think it did, because everybody was in cotton after that. When I got hired because of that fire, we came to work in blue jeans and a cotton T-shirt. That was your uniform, because the regular uniforms were out the window.
Yeah.
They didn't want that to ever happen again. And then the flame retardant materials came shortly thereafter. The Nomex was the first thing.
What was the thought behind nylon?
So no Run DMC outfits, I'm guessing.
Well, listen, it was permanent press. You look sharp in your uniform. Everybody figured, hey, you had your jacket on and your boots. And
so you're good.
You had your boots and you're good to...
Fashionable.
To get hot enough to go right through that jacket and melt the stuff underneath.
Wow. They opened the door.
Plus, that fireman's chilly, man. He'll do it, too.
So that had to change the protocol of how you enter a building as well, right?
I don't think so, because there's no way to know. Listen, firefighting is inherently dangerous. You most likely will get hurt, injured. You might get killed. That's just a chance that we take every day when we go to work. And when it comes to something like that, you don't know. You have to get inside. You can't sit there and go, oh, maybe it'll go, maybe it won't. You have to open up. Somebody has to open up and get in there. There's signs that you can look at the building and you can kind of tell sometimes if it's going to backdraft or explode on you.
Right.
There's little signs and symbols that they teach you, but they're not 100%.
So you can't just say, let's see how this shakes out for a second. Yeah, let's just stand outside for a minute.
I would say robotics. Let's get robots to go in there. But then, we can't even get good gear for you guys. So,
right, so.
Forget that idea.
Yeah. No, it's dangerous. That just puts a little exclamation point on it.
That video just reminded me that at any given day, at any given time, something horrible can happen. And anytime you hear a fire engine going off to a fire, you've got to keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right, Tom. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
All right. Always a pleasure. Yep. Hey, who won that race, AJ? Who won that race?
Kevin Harvick won.
All right.
How many fans were there? None.
Plenty.
None.
They should have put some, inflatable dolls in the audience. Have you ever choked on a piece of food and had to have someone give you the Heimlich? Or have you ever performed the Heimlich on anyone? Call it in, 1-877-764-2535. I saw this story. I thought, this isn't true. The guy's name is Billy Bass.
Billy Bass.
Hmm.
Oh, the fish.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Yep.
Don't worry. Be happy.
Ding dong.
Open the door.
Here's a little song I wrote. Got something stuck right in my throat. I'm choking. please help me.
Yeah, it's not don't worry, be happy. It's like, start helping.
You're very choking, calm about choking.
Yeah. Well, you got to be calm.
How many times do you think this guy hears this, right?
It's his ringtone.
He probably tried to choke himself right. just to, like, make it end.
Stop it! Right.
This is what he sounded like. Billy Bass was home alone in Orlando eating a piece of steak.
Oh, see, steak will do it.
Steak will kill you.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Didn't that happen to a mayor?
Yeah. A mayor got choked out.
Who the hell was that?
I think it was the Bristol mayor.
Yeah.
Right.
Almost died.
Yeah.
Right.
God.
At like a function.
In front of everyone, and everyone started laughing because right. they thought he was like making a joke.
Because right. he is funny.
Right.
They all thought he was doing a dance.
You're killing me.
He's doing
it. Oh, I'm dying.
Oh, my God. You look like you're really choking. You're really good, you.
Yeah, steak's bad.
When
you get that out, it flies across the room. So if you see someone choking on steak and someone's going to perform the Heimlich, get out of that.
Clear a path.
Wait. Clear a path for the meat.
Or get the dog. Because the dog loves that. They'll catch it first.
That's
plane.
True.
Yeah. They don't care.
So,
they lick their own butts.
So he was in his house. He got meat stuck in his throat.
Terrifying.
He panicked. He ran across the street to the home of a neighbor. And using the CPR and life-saving training that she's had for 20 years, but never used.
Until now.
She performed the Heimlich maneuver. Mm. And got the meat out on her first try.
Nice.
Mm, first try.
Right.
Now, that would be interesting. Like, if someone... I don't know. You got to put a mask on.
Right. yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to do this 6 feet apart.
6 feet, damn it! Really. Distancing.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. Let's try to figure out a way where we get to here. Here's a chair. Bend over the chair.
Right. You have to sanitize first.
Right. Or you hear the intercom.
I don't care if you're blue.
Or you hear the intercom.
Hold right. on. Let me get a mask. Hold on.
Right.
Wait, they're over here. All right, here, let me get a handkerchief.
Or you hear...
Look, you're almost dead anyway, so what's the point?
Oh, no.
Or the worst thing is you hear over the intercom,
I need you to check your temperature first.
That's right, through the speaker.
Do you have a temperature?
Yeah.
I'll turn the hose on, just drink that.
Yeah, who is it? What? Can't understand you.
The sign says no solicitors. Get out of here, you bastard.
This is the doorbell camera.
You're joking? Did it come out?
Yeah, it came out.
Call 911.
No, no.
No?
I can read
that. Oh, my God.
Save my life.
Oh, my God.
That was fast.
That must be edited, right?
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah.
Life doesn't happen that fast.
No.
Whoa!
Whoa!
A wounded bull moose sounds like.
Oh, my God. That sounds like a constipated man.
Right. had a lot of meat in his colon.
It almost sounds like he's saying something.
He's singing something?
No, you know what saying. It sounds like? Oh. Do you ever see those games you shoot the bear and the bear goes...
The video game.
Yeah. It, like, lights up and moves.
It's like, pa-ding! Pa-ding!
Right. That's right. That's exactly what it is. I want to get that game now and play it.
Yeah, seriously.
And then here he is. Here's Billy Bass talking about what was going through his, you know, what he thought as he was heading towards his neighbor's house.
I had to think quick, and I couldn't speak. So my instinct was to go to my neighbors who I've been friends with. I wouldn't get to see my daughter again. You know, I was dying. I only had about 30 seconds left. I went to the door like this with a choking signal, and she did the Heimlich on and knew exactly what to do and reacted, you know, perfectly.
If you're a batting coach, it'd be bad. Do you want me to bunt? Bunt? He said, no, no, I'm choking. Steal second? No! I'm choking! Choke up on the bed? No, I'm choking!
Wow, 30 seconds less.
Yep.
How does he know that, though?
Because he saw a light coming.
The ticker started. 30.
He saw a light.
29.
Grandma's voice.
28.
Yeah, I wonder up in the upper right-hand corner of your life's screen.
Yeah.
Comes a countdown clock.
30.
29.
Yeah, like James Bond.
30 seconds and counting. 29 seconds and counting.
Jeez.
I started choking on a dumpling once. I think I told you this story.
Yeah.
We had leftover Chinese food. I got home from work. Amanda was out. I was the only one at home. And I'm like, I'm eating all these. So I pop one in my mouth. And the second it touches my tongue, I hiccuped. And it just went. Now it's just me
That's
and the cat.
That's what you get for saying, I'm going to eat all these.
It's just me and the cat. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I go down, like I'm in the kitchen. I just go down to my knees and I'm just going like this on my chest. God. And it didn't ever come out, but I just felt it slide down right. Very slowly and like painfully.
Yeah, I know that kitchen choking. Yeah.
The second it got past my lungs, I could breathe again. I was like, and then I did eat all of them. Yeah, I did.
Once you catch your breath, you're fine.
I cut them up this time.
Just chew them next time.
But I told this story on the air, and I learned something that you can use the back of a chair, so like a kitchen chair.
Yeah, you just kind of run across it.
Like right between where your rib cage separates.
Exactly where they would do the Heimlich.
On the diaphragm there.
Dive right onto it.
Yeah. There was a period in my life I could not eat Lifesavers. Every time I had one, it got stuck in my throat. But with Lifesavers,
there's a hole.
There's a hole.
It's supposed to suck on
it. You feel it, right? But you're still breathing. But it goes. It's like that little squeezy thing in the dog's toy.
Let's try that.
AJ, you sound just like a dog toy.
Right? So I'm going. Wee, 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 wee. My dad's laughing. I'm like. Wee, 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 wee.
I say we try that.
No. I haven't had a Lifesaver since I was 8 years old.
Eight?
Yep.
You almost died choking. 1-877-764-2535. Johnny Rocket.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Johnny Rocket, huh?
All right. Welcome back, Ashley.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rocket Man.
So,
yes.
I was very young. I was about 10 years old. It was me, my grandmother, my little cousin, my little brother, and Phil, it was Chinese food. And it was
another way
chicken.
China's trying to take us out.
Choke us all. So I put the orange chicken in my mouth, and I think it was too big of a piece, and it went down my throat. And I started motioning at my grandmother that I was kind of choking. And like I was beginning to freak out. Like I thought I was gonna die. My grandmother so calmly just finished chewing with whatever she had in her mouth, put her fork down, took her middle finger and her thumb, shoved it all the way down my throat, and then just pulled it out.
That's one way to do it.
No, and then she ate it. It's not. That's the worst way to do it because they say when you do that, you might lodge it in
further.
The throat. Further oh. And stick it in there to where it can't come out.
Actually, she was trying to do that.
That's why she took her time. Hopefully, this thing runs its own course, right. But if not, I'll finish them off.
Crap.
You know, grandmothers, they do stuff the old way.
And they're old school. She'll eat it.
Oh, yeah. She probably went through World War II and
don't waste the
Great
food.
Depression.
Right.
It's like, you're finishing that piece of meat.
Yeah. She'll reserve it to you tomorrow.
Well, of course, I still ate it.
Of course, yeah.
Put it back in the bowl, so I didn't know which one it was.
Did you put it back in the bowl?
Yeah, she put it back in the bowl, so I had no idea what it was.
Put it back in the bowl.
Yeah.
she paid for it. She wasn't going to let me not eat.
That's right.
So security money, come on, man.
Yeah.
That's expensive.
That's right.
That's my story. I hope you guys have a good week.
Hey, thanks, man.
You too, man. Be safe out there.
Rocket Man. Holy crap.
Chew your food.
I was once in a limousine, and I asked the driver, you ever have anyone famous back here? He goes, you know that guy who came up with the Heimlich maneuver? I'm like, yeah, Dr. Heimlich. He goes, I had him in the back of my car once.
Nice.
Huh.
I'm like, wow. Yeah. I bet you felt safe.
I'm like, really?
You could eat anything you want right now.
Yeah,
and
a coughing.
The guy.
Yeah. You have a coughing fit. So I was grabbing you. No, it's just a coughing fit.
But imagine being this guy, because like everybody around the world knows his name, but he didn't make a dime off of that. How do you make a dime on that?
Ugh.
Yeah, right?
You don't make any money.
By my method, yeah.
maybe you get some buzz and people now want to go to you, but it's not like, hey, you know, I got to get my appendix out. Let's get that Heimlich guy.
Exactly.
Write a book right away.
Yeah, a book.
Start doing all the TV shows.
Right. Can you look him up?
Okay.
Plus, what it's hard year to spell. Was that invented?
The Heimlich?
Yeah.
I'm very curious today. I feel looking up all kinds of stuff.
I didn't really hear about it until like the 1980s, did you?
I don't remember hearing it until then either. Yeah.
Yeah. Might have been around.
But
for
how do
time.
You find that? Is it by accident?
Right.
Heimlich. Do you think, you know, there's this problem with people choking on food? I got to come up with something.
Dr. Heimlich, will think of something.
1974 it was first described in emergency medicine.
Wow.
Dr. Henry Judah Heimlich.
Judah Heimlich.
Judah Heimlich.
Judah Heimlich. It looks like a dance. It looks like a really weird dance, but, you know.
That would be the best video. Judah Heimlich. Come on, that's a Saturday Night Live bit on the anniversary.
Judah Heimlich.
Judah Heimlich.
He's from Delaware. He was born in Delaware. And he died in 2016. Yep. 96 years old.
Yeah,
he choked, but someone wasn't behind him.
Wouldn't that be the kicker?
That would suck.
Like
if he died choking on a piece of meat.
Yep. Like the guy who had that book on running just dropped dead sitting on his stoop.
Yeah, that's right.
Just killed him.
Charlie in Brantford.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Hey.
So yeah, I worked a custodian in Brantford, and I was drinking soup, you know, and it must have been like a piece of basil in it, and it went down the wrong tube, and I started choking.
That's the worst.
Now, the guy I work with, thank God, he used to be a cop, so he knew exactly what to do. But let me tell you, when you're
used
choking,
to be a cop.
You can't breathe. It's like the worst situation.
Yes, Ashley. I saw her face. Like, it used to be a what?
Yeah, it'd be a different choking story.
I was curious.
Cop.
I don't know.
COP.
It'd be a different choking story,
cop.
Ashley.
Cop.
Yes.
Got
yeah.
it.
So, also.
Wait, can we back up? Did you say you were choking on soup?
Yeah, he a piece of basil soup. Down the wrong pipe.
Oh, a piece of basil.
There's only like one pipe.
But you're not going to die. You're not going to die. That's that's one of those you just have to.
No, I could not breathe. I stood up, and he looked at me, and he goes, "Are you kidding?" I said, "No."
You're kidding, right?
Choking. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't even talk.
Sounds like you're having a problem
then,
now.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really weird that we were eating in like the school restaurant. And
cafeteria?
So the guy that runs the restaurant, he says the Heimlich poster fell off the wall, and he picked it up, put it back on. He looks at me, he sees me like choking. He thought I was joking around because the poster fell off the wall.
Yeah, the poster.
The same time I choked.
That's is that crazy, amazing?
That's what happened.
That's amazing.
Amazing story.
I need
no,
you.
No, but that's amazing.
It is.
It is amazing. And he told me that afterwards. He goes, you know, if the poster fell off the wall, I turn around and see you choking. He thought I was joking around.
It was a sign.
That's like some like dead relative of yours.
Thought I know,
they needed to knock that
like,
off
wow.
the wall.
Then. Exactly.
Not
right.
today.
Right. Well, his choking nope. created a wind that knocked it off the wall.
Right. Yeah. Maybe he was stomping his foot in the park.
Maybe I stomped my foot too hard. Yeah, possibly.
Right.
No, but my friend had something like that happen, where. The phone rang and a picture of his aunt fell off
no.
the wall and broke.
And
like the glass broke. And it was the
no.
call to tell him that.
Stop.
And it wasn't like she was
wow.
slowly, like they weren't expecting it. It was a sudden
yeah.
death. It was
yeah.
very weird.
Wow. Yeah.
I had a call from Bill
yeah,
Clinton.
Yeah, well, it happened.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Okay.
Jazz and AJ News.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 to Fox. We're going to start opening the state on Wednesday. Outside dining is a part of phase one. And some restaurants don't have the outside space. But Aunt Sonia Mayor Dave Cassetti has a plan. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Jazz and AJ. I haven't seen you in a long time.
Too long.
It's been
too
a while, long. Yes.
I know.
So yes, what is this plan you guys have?
Well, listen, I'm working with one of my commissioners, Michelle Libby, who works with the Conservation Committee. And we decided that we want to shut down Main Street from Maple Street to Tremont Street. There's a quarter-mile stretch, and there's about 14 restaurants. And I offered them to put their dining out in the street and, you know, safe distance, 6 foot apart with face masks, not when they're eating, though, and just enjoy themselves.
What a great idea.
Yeah, right? Awesome.
Yeah, we need to jumpstart this economy, especially, you know, Ansoni's well known for their restaurants, and I wanted to make sure that we can help them out.
Yeah, AJ, there's like 10 restaurants right on that strip.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're all great.
Okay.
Yeah, so you just close the street down and everybody gets outdoor dining.
Right. That's awesome. I want a chair right by the sidewalk, yes.
The pilot will probably be Saturday night from 5 to 9. We'll shut down Main Street and let them enjoy themselves.
So it'll be restaurants that are on Main Street.
That's right, Main Street. And, you know, I'm also going to offer to the street that the restaurants, there's two very good restaurants on Bridge Street, which is a right-hand turn off of Main Street. I'm going to offer it to them, too.
Oh, that's great.
That's very cool.
And this we have about 14 restaurants.
And this is all legal?
Yes.
Okay.
It is now. He's there.
They dialed down the didn't the state have to dial down the code? Restaurant codes and all this,
So, but we got to follow their guidelines. I mean, they're pretty extant, but we'll get through it.
Yeah, wow, what a great idea!
It is.
I'll bet you we're going to hear a lot of this happening.
Me too. Right?
Why not?
Absolutely. It's a start. We need to jumpstart this economy here in Ansonia for these restaurants and help these people out.
So, Ashley, the table report
from this community to come down.
Yeah, you're going to have to make sure no one drives through that.
Detour they mean at this time.
Yeah, I think you got to put some cars in the way.
It'll be a drive-through restaurant.
Yeah, some smash cars.
Yeah, it's got to be like a Dukes of Hazzard roadblock.
How about
those cars?
Right, how about those big trucks that they use for the highway, you know?
Trucks?
The crash trucks, yeah.
Yeah.
The crash trucks.
Yeah,
right. this Saturday, what's the weather supposed to be like? Does anyone
Saturday's very nice. Looking very nice, yeah.
Oh, yep, great.
It's going to be very nice. It's going to be warm, you know, and I'm also opening up all the parks. I'm opening up my river walk on Wednesday along with all the trails and parks and let the people get – people want to get out. 80% of the people want to get out of their houses. They're tired of the quarantine.
All right, and you don't have to go to the state to open your parks?
Nope.
Okay.
Just a big sash and a big scissor.
So Ansonia is open for business, and Saturday the restaurant
that's
on Main
my
Street.
That's my motto.
6 to 9.
What's the motto?
What's the motto? You ever save anyone with a Heimlich maneuver?
No.
Okay.
But maybe this Saturday.
I'll be on Main Street with my vest on. Checking everybody out.
Exactly. So if you're
the mayor's
choking,
a very sharp dresser.
Top hat?
Right. Yeah, look
monocle,
for him.
The whole nine yards.
Yeah. Do you know how to perform the Heimlich?
Yes, I do.
Have you ever been at an event where someone had to
I never performed it, and I never seen it happen. But I go to our Ansonia Rescue Medical for heart saving and different things.
Heart saving.
That whole heart-saving thing.
Yeah, so what do you do? Let's just say a guy's having a heart attack in front of you. What do you do?
What do I do?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, ask him if he needs help.
Okay.
And then perform CPR.
I call 911, said.
Yeah, you missed the step. So you got to ask if they need help, then call 911, put them on speaker, and then you start. So this way you got help on the way.
Right. And light a candle. And light a candle. Get some nice wine going.
You have to ask him.
I ask him for help. That's automatic. You call 911.
Right.
That should always be the first step, asking for help.
Right.
Right.
They're dialing 911, actually.
Yeah, you don't want to just grab some guy.
Well, if the person is choking, I'm not going to ask them if they need
help.
No, this
is heart attack.
No.
Well, choking, you have to ask, too.
Yeah,
why?
Do.
Yeah.
You just do.
If someone's in distress, I'm going to go help them.
Well, it's an assault.
You need help.
It is.
You can't wait.
If they don't give permission.
No, CPR is brutal. If you wind up having to perform CPR, you could break ribs.
Oh, you will break ribs. If you do it right, you're breaking ribs.
Absolutely.
That's why you got to ask.
The wrestling method.
You got to protect yourself, too, Ashley.
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
Who the hell? I don't want to say a name now, but I know someone who performed it on an elderly woman.
Uh-huh.
And the first pump, just heard nothing but
like bubble wrap.
Yeah, it's like bubble wrap.
Yep. It happens. It rips get broken.
All right. So anyway, we were talking about that, and I just wanted to know if you knew
Am I going to see you guys on Saturday night?
I don't know. I have to check with Jennifer, probably. Okay. I don't know. I'm still a little like, eh, I don't know. Set me off to
it's
the
a tough
side.
Call.
It's a tough call.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I ain't through windows. Here.
Maybe I'll come with a glass box, like right. like a mime.
Do it.
But with a real box.
Right. The AJ in a box.
Like a mime at all.
Bring the AJ in a box box. You have your own room.
Yeah. No, it sounds great. Those restaurants are awesome, and I go to all of them all the time.
Great.
We were just
talking
about one of them last night.
Nice. Right?
All right. Mayor Cassetti of Ansonia. Ansonia open for business. Wednesday, we get the outside dining.
Yep.
Saturday, they're going full blown. They're shutting Main Street down, and like 14 restaurants.
You got to eat in the street.
There.
Yep.
So, eat in the street. All right. Thank you, Mayor. Nice job.
Thank you.
All right, brother. I love that guy.
Yeah, he's cool.
He's a no-nonsense guy either.
Nope.
You too.
You know, right, their choice.
He's a former boxer.
Exactly.
Really?
But you gotta choose your words when you go into town hall if you're angry.
Yep.
All right. Remember the guy we did this last week, Weathersfield council member, Brooks Parker. He was doing a town hall, a budget meeting on Zoom, mm-hmm. and he didn't know about the mute button, apparently.
Is it bad if I tell you that I'm, like, watching a town budget meeting and trying to do my taxes at the same time?
Hey, Brooks. May I want to put that on mute?
That was the first one.
I had a little pause. Hey, Brooks.
Hey, Brooks. Yeah, and then?
I don't care about the tell you is you want to raise
Brooks.
Got him.
Brooks! Like a drug dealer. Cut!
Brooks is on the phone now. Hey, Brooks.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
So.
What's new?
You found me. I've been wearing a wig all weekend.
Nice. I can tell.
You were hard to find, too.
DEFCON 6.
Yeah.
It happens.
How long were you on the town council before that?
I had just started in the fall, so unfortunately not too long, but we did a lot of good work, and we got a difficult budget situation over in Weathersfield. I know the mayor is going to pull it out for us, but the other half of my comment, which unfortunately didn't make it through, but I was expressing my reluctance about voting for a budget that raised taxes, which is the proposed budget right now.
Okay, so the line where you said, I don't care about the effing needs of the budget, then you went on to say what?
I would, something to the effect of, because I wasn't going to be voting for this as it stands, I'm looking to, look at a budget that doesn't raise taxes. That was the discussion with my friend on the other line. So,
did you know that you were not muted when you said that line?
I was muted the whole meeting, to the best of my knowledge. So I think the Russians or someone came in and
collusion.
Turned me on.
Collusion.
I had a very choice time. I fully believe they had some drones or drones
China.
Listening in.
Yeah, China
could
definitely.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Yep. Infiltrating.
Zoom. I was definitely a Zoom bomb casualty. But I know that my fellow council members there in the Republican Party are going to take care of the town. They've worked very hard to produce something that's going to be acceptable to all parties. So, I wish them nothing but the best of luck.
So if you're in this town hall meeting, the council meeting about the budget, and it's an important one because the economy's been devastated, why would you do your taxes at the same time?
Stimulus check.
Yeah, well, I really wasn't doing it. I obviously understand what it sounds like, but the person that I spoke to on the phone asked if he could give me a call, and that was obviously a bad decision, but we had texted earlier that weekend, because it was Monday, about some questions about them. So it was mostly tongue-in-cheek, but didn't sound that way, obviously, over the internet, and the rest is history.
Oh, wait. So you're doing this Zoom meeting, and then someone who you were asking about your taxes calls you to give you advice on that while you're on the Zoom meeting.
Well, this was our, I believe, almost the fourth hour of the Zoom meeting.
None of that made the news.
Yeah.
Seriously, that's a long meeting, man.
Well, our meetings, we had four meetings in a period of 2 weeks. That was the third one, each one lasted over 4 hours. So in total, it was 16 hours of budget discussion. Yeah, so that was towards the end of the evening. Again, no excuses, but
right.
It had been a long day. I'm still working. So I went into my job about 6 o'clock in the morning, got home at 5, got a sandwich, settled back down at 6 p.m. For the four-hour Zoom.
Wow.
4 hours.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
sounded like you weren't going to resign, and it sounded like the mayor or whoever it is, First Selectman. Is it mayor or First Selectman of Weathersfield?
Mayor.
Mayor. It sounds like the mayor was going to give you a pass. What right. happened?
I think the mayor didn't want a distraction. I think in this day and age of hyper-partisan, you know, internet-based fodder, that's what it was becoming. And right. and I had spoken with the mayor, and I told him that, you know, I did not want this to distract from our goals for the town of Weathersfield. And I think he was appreciative of the offer, and I think when it started to go, you know, turn for the worst, he felt like it was the best decision, and yeah. I totally respected that. Mayor Mike's a great guy.
Yeah. So what did you learn out of all this?
quite a few things, but I would say mostly when you're doing a Zoom meeting, just give it your all, even if it is 4.5 hours, and sometimes it goes into the weeds with hour-long diatribes about, you know, various expenditures. Like, it's hard to stay focused, but got to do it, man.
What about the mute button?
Yeah.
Have you learned anything about that?
Where it is?
Listen, no keyboards were ever pressed. I didn't touch any keyboards. Had a laptop set up. So I can't tell you about the mute button. It was muted, and it became unmuted. And maybe that's divine intervention.
Yeah,
that's maybe.
Interesting.
This is meant to
China.
Be. Exactly.
I love your laugh, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Listen, it was a long day, and the other person on that phone will always remain nameless, but you just had to be part of the conversation to really truly appreciate the context. That's all I can say about it. And obviously, it didn't come out well for me, but
now that we know the context, there's 3 or 4 of these meetings that go on for like 4 hours, and you're like in hour 4.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm doing my taxes. Definitely.
That was delirium. Yeah.
It sounds like someone who's been on a lot of these long budget meetings.
I can't do these Zoom meetings anymore.
Yeah, here's where he lost it.
Oh, I love it. All right. Well, are you going to run again when the time comes?
No. Never say never, right?
Yeah.
But so. I think I'll be out for a while, and hopefully I can support my party in town in whatever way. If they ask me to take a look at something and give them advice, I'd be happy to do that. But,
like your taxes.
And how did your taxes?
Well, towns don't have to do taxes. We just collect them. So.
Gotcha.
Right. How did your taxes come out?
Still almost done. Almost done. I think I'm going to get a refund.
Nice. Very nice.
All right. Very good. All right, Brooks. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Take care.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Oh, the Heimlich stories keep coming in. Don in Bridgeport.
Hey, Don. Brother.
Hey.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
It's been a long time. AJ, I hosted that last car show you had at Brandhaven with you.
Oh, my God.
Just to remind you who I am.
Right. Had been a while, yes.
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm sorry. I do listen to you, as I told Phil, religiously.
But I'm going to choke you. And no one's giving you the Heimlich if you don't get to it.
I have.
Okay, goodbye.
Oh, Jesus.
That's right, Brooks. That's what happens. I just put him on mute. See how it's done?
Zoom, Brooks. Like that. It was gone.
That's it. Right?
Mute. Zoom, boom.
Goodbye. Go away, little boy. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's not a little boy. So.
No.
I don't want to get choked by him.
He can't reach
us. He actually told them both of us.
He was so happy to call back in. It's been like a year and a half or something. He was
More
telling
than that.
Me. He's like, I used to call all the time. Yep. I haven't called in so long. He's like, I got a Heimlich story. I'm like, all right, we'll see. I don't know. It looks like we moved on, but you just got to get right to it. Glad to have you back. Hold on. Nope.
Oops. Well, we kind of like we like momentum.
Yeah, moving forward. Bit, yeah,
you know, right. Maybe a little bit of hi, how you doing? But then it's
like a highway. You have to merge on at our speed.
Right.
Oh, that's
you've
good...
got to be moving with the speed that traffic is already going.
Right. Don't go right to the fast lane. Do 30. Right.
I don't mind. It's been a long time since I called, and AJ, I did a car show with you.
Right.
Then, so, on the choking.
Yeah, exactly. Segue right into it. Just get right to it.
That's all.
Very easy. Get right to it.
Get right to it.
Oh, boy, it's time for Dumbass News.
Yay.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
Thank you.
Dumbass.
When you see a dumbass in the news, send it to dumbassnews@chazandajinthemorning.com. TV cameraman doesn't realize he's live while swearing and bad-mouthing his job.
That's what he said, too.
Happened in Sacramento. He's covering a grass fire.
That's a big one in Sacramento. That's big news.
While he started a career fire.
Yes, exactly. Burnt a bridge, actually.
Yeah, he didn't realize he was streaming live as he talked about what he hates about his job.
He is pretty good. I heard he's got a big too, so.
Dude, you got a big.
I'm about to go put this thing out.
Yeah, how you doing?
This job really sucked.
Oh, this is horrible.
This, I mean, at least this is news. You know what I did earlier? I drove 2 hours to not see chickens being unloaded out of a truck.
Oh.
Yeah, they're saving 1,000 chickens from some farm in Iowa. I'm like, who the f*** cares?
Jeez. A lot of people care.
He laid an egg too, huh?
No, people don't care. But you know what? This is the stream everybody wants to see.
Yep.
This is, you know, you do your broadcast and then live stream what you're really saying.
Exactly, right. Want to hear it.
Yeah.
About to go put this fire out. He's just sitting.
He's so bored. I'm going to put this thing out myself.
Right. I'm done.
The life of the cameraman. It's awesome.
It's like he did a Brooks Foster.
He did.
Parker.
That too.
I was a Parker.
Brooks Parker.
Bananas Foster. That was his name.
I don't know where I got. Brooks Foster?
I don't know.
Sounds yummy.
It does.
Sounds like a.
Well, Bananas Foster isn't.
Brooks.
Right. Brooks.
Right.
Brooks
Parker.
Brooks!
Brooks Foster is a former American football wide receiver. He was drafted by the St. Louis Rams in the 5th round of the 2009 NFL draft. Of course, that's where you know him from.
That's where it's from. Okay. Yeah. So,
boy, I don't know how that file got dusted off. And just...
So 11 years later,
on the screen.
11 years later, you mentioned him. That's good, though.
And then, of course, there's the actor, Foster Brooks.
Right, but he's been dead for a long time. Right.
God.
But in the obituary is Brooks Foster.
My brain is on Monday. Monday setting. Beep, 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 beep. I started this by saying.
There you go. It came full circle.
Apparently. That's right.
Yep.
I was making fun of that person. And see now.
Good? Karma. Don't you hate
it?
Yep.
A lot of people going back to work Wednesday. And this question has come up a lot. Frank and Waterbury. What's your question for Attorney Bob Mitchell?
Yeah, hi, how are you? Hey. Hello, Frank. Chad was saying that they're starting to have, like in a couple of days, have us come back to work. And back in March, I was hospitalized for my pancreas, and now I have all these appointments that I have. And I need to go to them for my health.
Right. But do you have underlying medical conditions that could make you more in danger of getting and dying from COVID?
Well, I got diabetes.
Oh, okay.
That ain't good.
All right, so that's a yes.
Right.
Yes.
All right, Bob?
Okay, a couple of things. As far as your appointments are concerned, how big is the company you're in?
I work for First Transit out of East Hartford.
Okay, they have more than 50 people, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, you're entitled probably to FMLA leave, intermittent leave, it's called, that will allow you to go to your appointments. That takes care of that. That has nothing to do with COVID. As far as the other issue, if you have an underlying condition that makes you disabled in general, then you're protected by the Americans with Disabilities Act. But there's no specific protection for COVID-19. Or for being afraid of COVID-19. But if you have an underlying condition that the coronavirus could impact more severely than another person, then you may have an argument with your employer about that. What job do you have? What do you do?
I pick up elderly people and bring them to their appointment, dialysis and stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you may they may want to do something to, you know, protect you from contact with your passengers, like put a plexiglass screen up between you and them, that kind of thing.
Or wear a helmet.
That's something that the company would have to do, right?
Yeah.
Right. You need to talk to them and see if they can arrange things so that you can do your job with a minimum of contact with other people. Right. However, in the end, if you can't, you know, there's nothing they can do about it.
There's a bunch of things that people, like, do you have multiple passengers at once, or is it?
Well, it varies. You know, I can have like two or three, okay. You know, somebody in a wheelchair or something like that, you know.
Yeah. Well, no one's supposed to sit behind you. Like, if you look at the shuttles now, what they do is you can't sit behind the bus driver. And right. You have to sit, you know, it's like half capacity or whatever it is. I don't know if it's half or quarter. But everyone has to sit 6 feet away from one another. So that's right. Every other row, then this over here. Right. It's a whole deal.
Right.
So,
it's one of those, you know, van type deals. It's not like a big bus.
They could, maybe you have an empty row between you and your passengers, right?
Right. That can happen, yeah.
But if you have wheelchair people, you have to help them in, no?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's tough.
I have to strap them down, you know, make sure they're secure.
That'd be helpful, otherwise you hit those hard turns.
No, if you don't.
Yep.
Well, the company also is going to have to provide you with masks and probably with gloves, that kind of thing. But I talk to your manager about this and see what they can do first.
There's a lot of folks wondering about this.
Yeah.
So you're worried about going back because you could die.
Well,
if you get
not just for that, just so I can keep my appointments because they want to check me to see, make sure I don't have pancreas, you know, cancer.
Right, yeah.
Any employer can stop you from going to important medical visits.
That comes into the FMLA.
FMLA,
HR.
Okay.
So that's not going to be a problem.
Leave. That's not a problem at all.
No.
So go through with the FMLA.
FMLA.
Yeah. Right. FML is totally different.
Yeah.
It is.
But it almost applies to this.
AJ always good with something.
Thank you.
What that is, we don't know.
No.
You're right.
I know what it is. I write it all the time.
All right. Well, you have a good spirit about it. And, you know, your patients must be nervous, too. So it's going to be it's going to be tough. So.
Good luck.
Yeah, I'm going to give them a call today. Thank you.
Thank you
for your help.
Thank you.
Be safe, brother.
Take care, guys. Right.
You too, man. Be safe.
Lisa and Shelton, what's your question for Bob Mitchell?
Hi, Bob.
Hello.
I moved from Arizona to Connecticut. I left Arizona at the end of December, and I got a job in Connecticut, which I lost due to the COVID virus. So I filed in Connecticut two times. I put through my application. Both times, it's come back and said they have no record of me working in Connecticut and that Arizona is responsible for paying my unemployment. And, of course, Arizona is saying they aren't responsible because I lost my job in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not getting unemployment from either state.
Well, you should be, because what they have is the states have interstate compacts, and they're supposed to work together so that if, in fact, it's an Arizona problem, Connecticut pays you and Arizona pays Connecticut back. Or if they split it, they split it that way.
Well, this is a nightmare, though.
It's a nightmare right now.
Because you're going to. How can you possibly get one of these?
Well, you may have to appeal the denial of unemployment comp by the state of Connecticut.
So she's definitely Connecticut.
Yes, go to the FML.
I go to Connecticut because that's where you live right now, right?
Right.
You actually had a job here for a while, right?
How long?
4 months.
Yeah,
you should be okay. When you got your denial, there should have been an instruction sheet about filing an appeal. So file the appeal. If you waited too long, apply again, then file the appeal when they deny it again. But appeal it to the unemployment comp people, and you have a little hearing. You can explain all this to them. We'll see what happens.
It sounds like
now. Why would they not? Since I've already paid taxes in Connecticut, why would they not have a record of me being working in Connecticut?
Is there a certain amount of time? Is there a certain amount of quarters you have to work in Connecticut?
She's worked. It's usually 4 quarters.
No, she's worked 4 months.
Half quarters.
4 months. Right. But the fact is that she worked in Arizona. You work in Arizona, right?
I did work. Yeah.
Yeah. So there should be. The two states should work this out between themselves. They shouldn't leave you in the lurch.
Well, they're not going to do the work. So she has to. Where would you say if she worked 4 months in Connecticut and then the rest of the time in Arizona, who do you think should be paying her?
Connecticut the moment.
So 4 months.
She's a resident of Connecticut.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay.
But I think that's how, I honestly think that's how it works out, but I don't know why they're doing what they're doing.
Because of bastards.
Yeah, it's been, I keep trying to file it under different ways. And so I filed twice, and both times it's come back and says, we have no record of you working in Connecticut.
Yeah, I think it's a lot faster for someone who has a million things they have to do and used to probably doing like 100 a day to just say, denied, it's Arizona, and then they move on to the next file.
You are in denial.
Yeah. You have a pay stub from your employment in Connecticut?
Yeah.
Well, what you want, one thing you want to do is you want to get all those pay stubs together. And so you can give them to the state and show them, yes, here, I work for this company here.
Who has pay stubs?
Yeah, doing an origami.
I think you do as well.
You got to go to the site and print them out.
Yeah.
That's another
yeah.
thing I have to go see Angela for.
I hate that print button. Yep.
Right.
Yep. My printer sucks.
Bob, this sounds like a good case for you. I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Here goes small potatoes. Diplomatic immunity.
I don't want to have so much. She shouldn't have to spend money on a lawyer to get her unemployment comp. That's all.
No, but people do.
You're the guy.
In the meantime, you can't get anybody on the phone. Yeah. You know, I'm going down the tubes financially.
All right. See, it's a nightmare.
Hold on. I got to go to a break, but we're going to get your number, and I'm going to give it to Bob. And
I'll call this afternoon.
All right.
Look at
that.
Thanks, Bob.
Getting things done.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
All right. Good luck, Bob. Lisa. Bob Mitchell, employment attorney, MitchellandSheehan.com.
Jazz and AJ News.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. So, what's it like in the hospital at the Connecticut hospitals?
What's going on?
Is it slowing down? Is it getting better?
Right.
Dr. Fred Brown, Chief Medical Officer at Griffin Health on the phone. Are things getting better, Doc?
Yes, actually things are getting better. And at least we're getting a little bit more control. I mean, we're still getting, every once in a while, we are getting patients that come in that are COVID positive. But we've definitely met our peak, and it's actually passed. So
right.
Good.
Cool.
What's it? What was it like during the peak? How crazy was that?
It was pretty crazy. It was really crazy. ICU was full. You know, lots of different areas. And unfortunately, when people end up getting COVID-19, they get really sick and they stay in the hospital for an extended period of time. But I think, you know, I got to say, I got to say, Griffin Hospital really stepped up. We made a lot of changes prior to the event. We have a lot of different areas that were focused on the COVID-19 and how to manage these patients. And I think we, you know, we really followed through and it worked out well. I mean, as well as it could, given the situation.
Right. It had to be tough for you to watch your staff go through this. I mean, some of them are, you know, holding a laptop or an iPad or whatever so a loved one can communicate with someone who, a family member that was dying.
Sad.
And so you have that. So the hospital's overwhelmed. The staff is getting worn down. The news out of New York was getting worse by the day. That had to be brutal for everyone there. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can imagine that. I mean, I can't say that we didn't have any mortalities. I mean, everyone did. But yes, it's really difficult because you have to be really careful about, you know, making sure that the staff is safe as well as visitors of the family. So yeah, it was really tough, and we were able to, you know, at least have some FaceTime or at least have some digital communication between family. But it became very traumatic, and again, making different areas of the hospital basically dirty units. So, you know, trying to limit the amount of people that were going in so we can reduce the amount of spread or potential spread throughout the hospital, which again, I think we did really well. We really can't say that we had a lot of spread or if any within the hospital.
Dr. Brown, Chief Medical Officer at Griffin Health on the phone. So now, Wednesday, we begin to reopen the state. And as we start making more contact, we talked to the governor last week, and he expects, and I think we all do, expect a rise in cases because it's just mathematically going to happen.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Are we ready for another wave? Are we better prepared for another wave?
I would say yes. And I think there's two things. One is that I think the big wave is over, so that's I think a really good thing. You know, the working group that is going out can get infected, but again, don't get as sick as the vulnerable population, the elderly, the immunocompromised. So we're, you know, at least we're expecting that. As for within the hospital, we're not really changing our units. We're not changing our processes. So what we want to do is we want to optimize the safety of our patients. So if a patient comes in and does have symptoms consistent with COVID-19, we have a special unit in the emergency department. We have a special unit on the floors to keep those patients sort of well cared for in an area, because we still need to manage the patients who have not been getting care for the last, you know, 4 to 6 weeks,
right,
which is starting to become a really big issue.
And I'll get to that in a second, but I know that now we're better set up for the process when you walk in the door. The testing was a big one.
Yeah.
We were saying, because there was no tests. So it was, you're not getting tested unless you're having trouble breathing.
Yeah.
And now we have all these rapid tests and whatnot. So all of that has to be great, right? Or better.
It's better. It's much better. You know, knowing if someone has it or does not have it makes things a lot easier to know where we can put them, making sure that if a person has the infection, we don't have to rule them out to see if they actually have it. What we can do is we can put them into the appropriate unit right away.
Well, we had a 57-year-old friend die. He went to the hospital, not Griffin, went to the hospital on Thursday. They said, you have bronchitis. He came back on Saturday. They said, you have pneumonia. And by the way, while you're here, we'll test you for COVID. He had COVID, and then he went on oxygen, and he got off oxygen for like a day. Then he went back on, then onto the vent, then didn't make it.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think now if you walk into a hospital with any signs, you know, they're gonna give you the test, and they're going to identify it much earlier.
Yeah.
So what about all these other people who have not been going to the ER or not been going to a hospital to get stuff done? That could be just like the unspoken wave, right?
Absolutely. And it's been devastating. I mean, there's been some people who've come in. I mean, people have been so afraid of coming into the hospital and getting exposed to COVID-19. They've been so afraid that they've not come in after having heart attacks. And you
wow.
can imagine that if you have a heart attack, when you have this chest pain and you're just so afraid to come in, you know, that does some serious damage to your heart. You end up having heart muscle that can get damaged. And then there's, you know, if you survive it, then there's all these complications associated with it. As well as people who come in, you know, we've had people come in with abdominal pain, have had abdominal pain for a week, just couldn't bear it anymore, coming in, and they have a ruptured gallbladder.
Ooh.
Which we hardly ever see, you know, appendicitis. So
oh.
So it's really important that people, you know, there's, you know, this
yep.
is one of those aspects of, you know, disease worse than the cure kind of thing, or
right.
you know,
the leg fell off.
Or it's delaying,
funny you
right?
should mention that. Yeah. I know two people who were in tremendous pain, did not want to go to the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then eventually went. Wow. So,
and we're here to say that, you know, the hospital has actually been, I mean, the whole preparation for COVID-19 is also very helpful in the aspect of managing it after the wave. So by having clean units and dirty units, having testing, patients are safe to come. So I think that's the big, you know, that's the big message out there is that, you know, if you're sick, you have to come to the hospital, or you need to go to your doctors. We're taking proper precautions. We're screening. We're testing. You're safe to come back to the hospital.
What about the false negatives for the test? Is that concerning? That worries me a little bit.
A lot of the false negatives are usually associated with people who don't have symptoms. So if you don't have symptoms, then you can potentially have a likelihood of false negatives. And,
yeah.
and you can sometimes get false positives. So that's important to know. If you have symptoms, we will test. And then if we have to, if there's a concern that it's still there, then we can retest. But it is always a concern, and there's different algorithms to make sure that we can test in different ways to make sure that we can overcome those false negatives and false positives.
I like that you have a dirty unit.
Right.
That's so
yeah.
amazing.
Be calling for a band.
Right.
Dirty unit.
That's
and the false
name.
Negatives.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know, again, it's sort of a technical term, but again, having an area that is COVID-19 or again, make sure that everybody is
right.
wearing proper precautions, higher level of PPE, and making sure that that's clear. So again, I think that's.
Well, that's what people want, too.
Exactly.
When
yeah.
you're going to the hospital for something that's unrelated, you want to know that everyone with
clean
COVID
unit.
Is over somewhere.
Way down.
Like
dirty
CDC
unit.
Level stuff with, you know, new gowns, new masks.
Right.
All of that stuff.
Air sealed the whole nine yards.
And they're over there.
Right.
And you're over here.
Right. For my busted toe, yeah.
Very good. All right. We're going to link up to griffinhealth.org. at WPLR.com and 95.9thefox.com. Dr. Fred Brown, Chief Medical Officer at Griffin. Thank you very much. I was born at Griffin Hospital, by the way.
Oh, you were?
See?
That's fantastic.
I don't want anyone to hold that against Griffin.
No, still go anyway.
Don't listen
to me.
I
don't remember that.
Despite that, they're good.
All right. Thank you, Doc. Thanks for everything and your entire staff.
Yes, thank you.
By the way.
And thank you guys for getting the word out.
Did you guys see the flyover?
We did. Very neat.
Cool. That
very neat.
Something.
Yep.
Very special.
It was.
Yeah. All right.
We ordered that. Just kidding.
Well, thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
No problem. You got it. Dr. Fred Brown. Thank you. He sounds pretty cool for a top guy, right?
Have to check it real quick. Yeah. The false negatives.
Oh, that's funny when we were talking to that pilot, and she was like, well, we're not sure what the bill. Oh, there it is. There's people on the roof.
Yeah. In scrubs.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That must be a hospital where folks want help.
At Smilo in New Haven, they have this garden. It's called the Healing Garden.
Oh,
it's
nice.
On the seventh floor.
Oh, nice.
And if you go out there, you think you're basically in a jungle. You would look at this and say to yourself, how can they possibly have something so, like a forest out
in New Haven
on seventh floor?
Right.
That's awesome.
Right. And so their patients went out and nurses went out and they were all out there. Then
that's
you
cool.
Could look across and see the stairwell and it's made of glass and they're all way. It was a big deal. And it really, it was a morale booster. So, you know.
That was pretty
cool.
That
was a really cool thing they did.
Yeah.
Do we have time? Yeah, of course we do. Let's talk about this guy. Because we're opening. We're going to start to reopen the state on Wednesday.
Yes.
This business owner is very blunt about saying, stay closed. Mrs. White, Golden Rule Cafe in Phoenix, has been in operation since 1964.
Damn.
Owner Larry White told a TV reporter what things have been like for him and his business since the pandemic began.
It's been quiet.
Oh, there we go. Hold it.
It's the worst thing that ever happened in the United States of America. Nationwide. This is worldwide. This epidemic has taken over everything. Never seen nothing like it before in my life. You have 9/11. You have hurricanes, earthquakes, floods, fires, all that kind of stuff. But nothing like this right here. God, only God can change this and straighten this thing up. We're looking for the doctors and God to put his hand in this and straighten this thing out and bring us back to where we were before.
That Don King? Only America.
Very passionate.
I want to go to that cafe.
Yeah, damn. I like him.
He forgot a lot of consonants in his sentences.
Yeah. It don't matter.
Word economy.
Yeah.
Right. He's got things to do.
There you go, see?
Larry only got White. A hand of God.
A hand of God. A hand of God himself. Hallelujah.
Picture this big hand coming out of the sky and just like wiping us down with a, you know,
picture flicking.
With a Clorox
wipe. Yeah. I picture it flicking like.
Excuse me, sir. What's your special today? Let me tell you what. The hand of God.
The hand of God.
Down and made this soup for you today. It is such a special soup. You can't find a better soup on the planet than this one.
And the hand of God sandwich. The two hands are holding a sandwich. The big sandwich.
All
only
right.
God himself made the sandwich.
I don't even know what's in it, but I want it.
It tastes heavenly. I know that.
You got to get Larry White, Ashley. You got to get Larry White. I want Larry White.
Give us Larry White.
Get me Larry White.
Get me the hand of God.
All right, so that was the first of three clips. What's this next one? This is the cafe is allowed to open, but Larry White doesn't feel it's safe.
Man, got all my money gone. All my money's gone. But I tell you one thing, I ain't going to open up the Disneyland open up. I tell you one thing, basketball's out, baseball's out, football's out, boxing's out, all this stuff. Acting, movie theaters, all this stuff was out. I didn't think too much about it. But when Disneyland closed down, shut down Miss White's. We'll open up at Disney over.
They go by Disneyland.
Disneyland
closes. Mrs. White's closed too.
What did he say at the end there?
No, I was quite
sure. There was a part in the middle where his brain got like AJ's, where it was just like moving too fast. He was
the theater.
I found my relative.
Boxes that all this stuff. Acting, movie theaters, all this stuff was
and right at that moment, an hourglass in circle came up on his forehead.
Buffering.
All this stuff was out.
Maybe just saying like I'm like moving.
I think I'd probably make this guy mad that he would be talking to me like, hey, Mr. White, what's the special today? And then I would just say, I'm sorry, what did you say?
You know, like we hear with AJ.
Can you just point to something that looks good?
You'll just look at him and go, do you have a lot of coffee today?
Yeah.
And he'll say, why?
But when Disneyland closed down, shut down Miss White's. We'll open up at Disney over.
We open up at
what?
We'll open up when Disneyland opens up.
Oh, very nice. But again, you're telling me all the time. So
well,
you know,
exactly.
Yeah.
I have learned from AJ.
Yes, he speaks AJ. Right. Very nice.
This is a tune titled Shemalima Ding Dong.
So hit it.
That part where he loses the words, it sounds like when the Beatles go.
Maybe he's having soup.
All this stuff that.
Maybe he's having a spoonful of soup right now.
Or he's Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, exactly.
Larry White needs some soup.
We're open up at Disney,
what?
We're overloading Disney.
It sounds like very delicious soup.
Yeah, oh, I love soup. This guy.
Yes,
he just saw a kitty cat cross the street.
The sound a snail makes.
Oh, all right, and there's one more clip.
Yes.
I don't want to open up right there. My daughter right here, my lovely daughter right there. Keanu White right here has children. Now, she got kids. This... I'd be doggone. I'd let somebody come here and bring a disease in here, take it down to my daughter, my grandkids. We don't have that kind of stuff. But I tell you one thing, when we open up, we will open up. We'll be ready to open up.
Oh, my God. That's me.
I'm going there for the ambiance.
Did he say something about Keanu Reeves?
I think so.
Was he
Keanu Reeves, yeah. That's a better sandwich. Kind of God makes him.
Keanu Reeves is driving the bus. No, Sandra Bullock is driving the bus that's bringing the disease down to his kids.
It's Keanu Reeves soup.
Oh, my God. I want him on a reality show with the guy who was talking about the ribs. I had ribs.
Charles Ramsey.
Charles Ramsey.
Yep. Right.
Something wrong here.
Something wrong.
Every day.
I thought you were going to say AJ.
No.
Oh, yeah. Put AJ.
I'll do a guest show.
AJ's the host of the show.
I'll do a guest show. Yeah, the show will be called What the Hell Are We Talking About?
Hey, Allie with the Richfield Playhouse is on. Good morning.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good morning, Allie!
I haven't spoken to you or seen you in a while.
Too long.
It's been quite some time. Thank you.
Is there talk about shows coming back yet, or where are we at?
I just actually had a meeting on Friday with my state representatives and my first selectman, and we're trying to sort of see if we can get these smaller venues to open. Even if it's at half or quarter capacity, sometimes throughout the end of the summer, by the end of the summer, because, the smaller venues, it's more manageable. It's hard to take a 20,000-seat arena and say, okay, we're gonna make everybody, socially distance and make it into a 10,000-seat arena. It's still kind of unmanageable. They want to get it to that point, but that's not fair to kind of keep the 500-seat theaters in that same realm as the 10,000-seat theaters.
And the Richfield Playhouse is a 500-seat place.
That's it.
Yep.
That's okay. It. That's all we got. So if you make that in half, you make it 150, 200 people, and you take out every other row, we can make it work. So in a safe way. So, we're talking about trying to get, or at least just getting a date. We don't really have any dates, so it's hard to plan anything.
Yeah, right.
So, right now, look, we have shows on sale and available at the end of the summer through, September. We just went on sale with Kevin Bacon, and people were excited. They were like, oh, my God, we sold like 150 tickets when we went on sale with it. So we are trying, we still have our shows on sale.
All right, what's the date for that Kevin Bacon show?
Kevin Bacon is September 25th,
okay,
Bacon Brothers.
So you're pretty confident that by then we'll be able to do a limited...
I hope so. And if not at full capacity, at half capacity or three-quarters capacity, and one of the things that we've been talking to some of the performers about is, maybe doing two shows in one day, right? So like a 7 p.m. and a 9 p.m. Or
okay,
if it's on a Saturday, doing a 4 p.m. and an 8 p.m. or something like that.
Like comedy shows do, yeah.
Yeah, yep. So, something. Or, staggering it or, maybe splitting it up between... Or, we could also wind up doing what we've been doing for all these other shows since March, and we wound up moving a lot. Some of them we actually moved into July because at the time we were like, oh, we're moving it from March to July. That's plenty of time.
You say, oh!
How does that work with the contract? There's probably no clause in there about pandemic.
Right.
Yeah.
There isn't a pandemic clause. There's a force majeure clause. But to be honest, everybody's on the same page. The you know, silver lining in all of this is that we are all going through this together. It's not like, you know, when there's a tragedy in one place and it's kind of, you know, hard to for everybody else that's not experiencing it to wrap their heads around it. We're all in the same boat. So everybody's really being thoughtful and, you know, wants what's best for everyone. So
the bands have been good.
Pretty much, cool. Yeah.
Pretty much. Has there been a band that said you're not getting your deposit and you can't make the date, so that's your problem?
I haven't had that just yet because we don't really do deposits until about 30 days out. So there were some deposits at the end of March and mid-April that we had out, but all of those people have moved. The ones that haven't really moved but that have are sort of – not that they've canceled, but they don't really know yet what their new date is going to be. They are saying that they'll come back to the Playhouse. They just don't know when yet. Those people we had not had deposits out, but we do have some ticket sales out. We're trying to figure out, well, you know, we'd rather get a new date so we could tell people rather than holding on to their tickets. And most people, not everyone, a lot of people have wanted refunds, but most people are either holding on to their tickets. Some people have donated them back. Some people have exchanged them for gift certificates, so we don't have to physically give them the cash, but they can use it for whatever show they want in the future. They don't expire. But we've had a few people that have wanted, you know, refunds.
I guess the older the ticket holder, the more likely they are to say, yeah, I'm going to sit this one out until there's a vaccine.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, okay.
I think a lot of it has to do, some of the people that have, you know, expressed that they really want refunds, it has more to do with, you know, look, financially, I just need the money back.
I hear you.
If you thought concert writers were weird before, you watch what they ask for now.
Right?
Like, seriously, yeah.
Hand sanitizer.
Well, I will tell you.
Sealed off room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people have said, you know, the meet and greet is going away.
Yeah.
So we've come up with other ideas like a sound check party or, you know.
Oh, smart.
Wave through a window. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. You know, wave
through the window.
Each other.
That's cool.
Oh, sound check's brilliant. I mean, that's cool. I think it's even more fun.
It is kind of cool. You get to hear them, like, work through some of the, like, because sometimes the sound check, I have to tell you, is really funny. They'll start doing a song, and you'll hear somebody say, wait, that's not what we discussed.
Right, you get arguments going on.
Fight.
So, yeah.
Based on the Italian with the Richfield Playhouse, based on the concert writers you've seen in the past and through your years and years of doing this, which artists do you think are the biggest germaphobes? Do you think will have the biggest problem with the COVID world? Howie Mandel.
Yes, for certain.
You know what? Ironically, I don't think he is. I mean, he is and he's not.
He won't shake hands.
I'm going to tell you, yes, I agree with you. However, he is now feeling like we are all catching up to him.
Right.
So he's been this way. He has not shaken a hand in 10, 20 years. Like, he's been an elbow, you know, hitting kind of guy.
How you doing?
He's now sort of like, yeah, hello. I've been telling y'all to not shake hands. Like, he doesn't really, he's not as germophobic as like, he's been a germaphobe. So there's nothing new to him.
Right. And gotcha. He's not ramped it up. He's just at the same level.
That's
now we're
Howie Mandel.
Yeah, he's the original monk. Right.
Who do you think? Did you have any other germaphobes come through? Like,
you know, everybody is a little bit, to a certain extent, like they just want, like, don't touch their stuff kind of thing.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I think it's really hard to be on the road and go into venue after venue after venue and be on a bus with, like, 10 other people or whatever it is and really be a germaphobe. It's just not the life of a real true germaphobe.
Right.
It's not. If
At
you're
the same
in,
time,
a, in a tour... you know, on a tour with on a bus with many people, it is what it is.
And at the same time, though, you can't get sick if you're a lead vocalist.
That's right.
So you have to watch yourself.
Right.
Nick in North Haven. Hey, Nick.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning,
Nick.
All right, here we go.
All right, you ready, Nick?
I'm ready.
Okay. Which rock and roll performer loves his cereal and requests a selection of Grape Nuts, Life, Apple Jacks, Kashi, and Oatmeal Raisin Crisps for the loadout of the show? Is it Krieger West, that's Robbie Krieger and Leslie West, on August 8th, Kenny Wayne Shepherd on November 5th, Johnny Lang on December 5th, or Southside Johnny on December 18th?
I'll go with Kenny Wayne Shepherd just because I want to go see him.
It is not Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
But you can still go see him anyway.
You can see tickets. Him on November 5th. He's a move date. We moved him to November 5th. That's his new date.
All right.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Nick, thank good you. Shooting, Tex.
Joanne, did you hear the clues?
Yes.
What do you think?
Southside Johnny.
It is actually not Southside Johnny, although that's what I would have picked because he's
really?
Like a cereal kind of guy.
The dog yells, you're wrong, Jersey guy, come on.
There's only one good cereal in there, though.
Southside Johnny is not going to order cashew cereal.
Applejacks. Applejacks, yes.
No. Oh. Yeah, no, he's like.
No, the Applejacks are the only good ones.
I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, but he's on December 18th now.
Oh, that'll be a fun show.
Cool.
I love him.
Now on Applejacks.
All right, Joanne, what's your dog's
Thank
name?
You. Buddy.
Hey, buddy. Way to go, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey there, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Jim in Burlington.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right, I'm going to go with Johnny Lang.
It is Johnny Lang. Good job.
There you go,
Yay.
Sweet.
Johnny Lang likes the cereal. It's on December 5th.
Do you have to bring a bowl, too, or what?
Cereal. You know, it's funny when he started, I don't know, decades ago.
Uh-huh.
It just seems like so long ago.
He wanted a juice box. Yeah.
He's a kid. So a cereal on the rider would make sense.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cereal and juice boxes.
Exactly right. And a nap at four. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd still eat that stuff.
That was like probably from his rider when he first started when he was 16 years old. And
right.
They just never changed
They never changed
it. Says here, clean, feety pajamas.
Okay.
Okay.
With the Richfield Playhouse is on. We're playing the rider game.
Yes. And I just want to say that the last one was Johnny Lang, and I said it was December 5th, but it's actually December 15th. So
you're close.
I was close. We just want to make sure the winner knows that it's December 15th and not December.
Right,
5th.
By yourself, I think.
Right. Well, at least they would show up early and
they
then
would.
Get to come back.
They would show up for a different show.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
They'd show up for Art Garfunkel.
Oh. Big difference, yeah.
Big difference.
Yeah, he'd be singing the blues.
Big difference. Joe the Barber.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. You ready to open on Wednesday?
Yes, I am. Ready to roll. Take
Excellent.
It easy, stay calm, and that's all we could do.
That's all you could do. All right, here are your clues.
Okay.
Which musical legend asks the venue to make sure the dressing room is completely silent? There is no noise, no hums, no motors, no forced air sounds, no noise from fluorescent lighting, and no intercoms. No intercoms is bold and full caps. Is it? Okay, let's see. Who's the first person?
And by the way, while you look for that list, how is that even possible?
It's not possible.
Like, if a fluorescent light makes a noise, what the hell am I supposed to
do? You put
noise-canceling
headphones on.
How do you handle that? Do you put a trailer out in the parking lot?
Yeah, box.
Oh, you ignore it.
I ignore it. And if the person starts to complain, I'm like, that wasn't there before. We'll see what we could do about it.
Nice tactic.
Smart. I mean, come on.
What are you going to do?
Anyway, is it Paul Anka on September 22nd? Is it Jorma Kaukonen on December 1st? Art Garfunkel on December 5th? Or Gordon Lightfoot on December 3rd?
December 3rd, Gordon Lightfoot.
It actually is Gordon Lightfoot.
Really?
Yeah.
The record of the Fitzgerald guy? Really?
Ding, ding, ding. But I have to say, if I were guessing, I would have guessed Art Garfunkel.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. Pain in the ass.
He is similar in the sense that you can't have any light coming from the lobby into the theater, so we have to like put black curtain on top of concession.
Right.
What did you do?
Who's breaking into a car? Is it Allie or is it Joe the Barber?
That's my car.
Nice.
All right, Joe, I'm going to put you on hold.
And he's all ready to cut hair, too.
Can I just say, I thought that you were doing that as a joke, like you were going to be outside Gordon Lightfoot's dressing room.
Nope.
Sound
it was
effect.
A bit.
But thanks for the idea.
Here's the deal. We're sending that guy to the Gordon Lightfoot show now.
I'll put my car club and do burnouts outside.
Oh, man.
He's going to have to just let his car beep outside Gordon Lightfoot's dressing room the whole time.
Oh.
That would make him insane.
Yep.
Let's do it.
That would be
crazy.
Oh. This is one
the lamest songs ever.
All the songs are lame.
But at least Sundown has a little bit of beat to it.
I love this song.
Really?
Oh,
really?
Love it.
She was singing it.
Twice.
Yeah.
Do it. Do it, Allie.
Do I fall asleep too?
I don't know. I just like it. I've always liked this song.
How old is he, like 100?
If you could read his mind, you would know that he's angry because right. There's sound.
You know, you would think a guy named Lightfoot would be very mellow.
Right. Lightfoot.
Lightfoot, not heavy ass.
Lighten up,
yeah.
Lightfoot.
Seriously. James Gordon, for God's sake.
When he tours, does he bring the orchestra with him?
No, it's
someone knows his keyboard.
But it's not, not an orchestra.
Do they do Puff the Magic Dragon soundtrack?
No.
Is this the same guy?
No.
That's
no. Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Oh, I don't know. It sounds like it.
Peter Yarrow is tough.
Have you held your
dragon.
Breath lately? Oh, this was on the radio constantly.
Oh, I like this song,
70s.
Too.
Wow.
Oh. I guess I like Gordon Lightfoot music.
Yeah. He definitely does a good job doing like a sea captain on his.
That's... and he said with a grin.
Meanwhile, his show is sold out.
What's that? It's sold out?
The show
sold
is
out.
Sold
I
out.
Mean, you know, wow. Get the winner in, but it's sold out. And so that's why we're sort of like, you know, we just need to play it. At this point, everybody's got their tickets. They're ready to go.
Wow.
So we just need to do the show. So we'll do that in December when everything's a little bit, you know,
show
calmer.
Is sold
yeah,
out. There
fun.
Is no need to show. Gordon Lightfoot's on the stage.
Can you hand out kazoos?
No, vuvuzelas. Vuvuzelas. Gordon Lightfoot exploded
on stage.
He loves
it when you play along.
Right, they do. They really do.
That's so funny.
You don't sound like you think it's funny.
Yeah, that's funny.
She's good. Not funny.
No,
that
was you guys
so
are a-holes.
Funny.
So funny.
So funny. All
right, let's, we got time for one more. Who's been holding the longest? It's been Betty.
It's good that people are excited to get tickets.
Oh, yeah. The lines are jammed right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think it'll be great. You know, once everybody feels comfortable, we just got to get past that point. And
yep.
You know, everything's been scrubbed down. You wouldn't even believe how disinfected the whole place is.
Nook and cranny.
It smells like a pool when you walk in.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
All right.
Bo in Ridgefield.
Who is it?
Bo.
Bo in Ridgefield. Nice short walk.
Yeah, you're in Ridgefield?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Why, you need some?
Yeah.
Right, can you bring coffee?
Beautiful. Yeah, I should bring you coffee.
No, she can bring you coffee.
Oh, yeah, you should bring me coffee. All right, you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. Which female vocalist only has, I mean, you know, we've talked about a lot of things. This is like four things on her rider. It's right. Salt-free club soda, bran crackers, protein bars, and grilled fish or chicken.
Hmm. So
I
boring.
Know.
Never had a fish or chicken.
Is it Joan Osborne on September 11th? Mary Chapin Carpenter on August 16th or 17th. That one may get moved, but we're hoping, holding still on it.
Right.
Suzanne Vega on October 14th, or Ann Hampton Calloway singing the Linda Ronstadt songbook.
Wow.
February 20th.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
When to answer? When do I answer?
Right now.
Now?
Suzanne Vega.
It actually is not Suzanne Vega.
Wow, see? She had graham cracker all over.
Hey, but here's how you luck out, Bo, because we're running up against the clock here. You're the last call we're going to take. So if it's okay with Allie, we'll give you the tickets.
Sure. You want to see Ann Hampton Calloway doing Linda Ronstadt?
Oh, Lee with three names.
I better believe it. I'd love it.
All right.
Yeah. There you go. She did a great show. She's amazing.
You got some fish chicken.
And that's on February 20th, so you got some time.
Oh, wow. So I never heard of this person before. I'm guessing she does a very good job doing Linda Ronstadt.
Oh, she's amazing. Ann Hampton Calloway, we've had her doing the songbook of Barbra Streisand. She's like more known in the Broadway scene.
Oh,
gotcha. Hmm.
But she's got an amazing voice.
So she could pull off the Linda Ronstadt.
Hope so,
yeah. Oh, yeah. She's just amazing. She's
Gordon
great.
Lightfoot, though.
Yeah.
Her vocals are insane. They're off the charts.
Allie, it's good to hear your voice again.
You too.
It's just another sign that things are starting to get back to normal when we start talking about concerts, even
exactly.
if they're off in the distance. At least they're coming.
At least they're talking about them, yeah.
All right. We're linked up all things Ridgefield Playhouse at ChazAndAJInTheMorning.com, WPLR.com, and 95.9TheFox.com. Thank you, Allie.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Chaz and AJ News.
Okay. So, how's business for Dr. Dennis?
Crazy.
Dr. Dennis is a clinical something like psychological.
Social worker.
Something like
right. Social worker.
Therapist. Like 12 years of college thing, yeah.
What do people come in
Goodness
and ask
gracious.
About now? How are you?
Well, they don't ask me whether or not I'm a social, psycho, whatever. That's for sure.
Okay.
That was our job, yeah.
Psychiatry and psychotherapy.
Well, I mean, that's a big question. What do they come in and ask about? I mean, are you asking how have things changed during this coronavirus and how's that impacted, you know, most of my clients?
Yeah, you want to do the interview yourself? I'll be over here.
He's like analyzing himself. I think he's analyzing us right now. Like,
well, Dennis, how's your back?
Well, he's like, he heard the introduction. He's like, all right, I'm going to have to handle this. All right. It's been a while since I talked to
you. How was your relationship with your mother?
Before she died? Great.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. My condolences.
Thanks for bringing that up.
No, honestly.
This is probably the most awkward interview since COVID started.
And it just began, too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, no, I mean, obviously people are extremely anxious. I think the thing that would characterize, you know, what I've been seeing more than anything else is just, you know, uncertainty, unpredictability, and all the things that kind of go into creating routines for people. All of a sudden, they're all gone on kind of almost every level that we count on: your health, your finances, your family, everything, every aspect of our lives has been changed so dramatically, you know, so quickly. And, you know, for a lot of people who have anxiety, normally you would expect something like this would be, you know, make things so much worse, or depression, or any, you know, lots of the things we see.
Yeah, I guess that if you had to pick one word, it's routine.
Yep.
Right?
It's all like gone.
Everybody's routine just went
out the window.
Bye.
Yep. See you.
Yeah.
Well, the biggest thing is, I mean, you know, one way of looking at anxiety is you overestimate some danger or some, you know, or some risk lurking out in the future, and you underestimate your ability to cope with it. And right now, you know, for some people that's irrational. It's almost, you know, but in this situation, that unknown risk or danger that's lurking out there, it's not only real, but we have no idea how we'd cope with it. So even people who aren't terribly anxious, you know, who have normal routines that ground them, as soon as those routines are gone and you know, predictability is gone, people go to really, you know, unhealthy places for the most part. Not because they're unhealthy necessarily, but because they don't know how to, they don't know what to do.
Like fast food?
You don't really think about this much, but right. We all do our routines.
Yes.
And I get the most anxiety when I'm going to an event that we haven't done before or I haven't been to, and I don't know how it's going to go.
Yeah.
It's true.
I'm walking into, like, I have no
unknown territory.
So I get a little anxiety.
How will this be?
And now this has happened to everybody.
Right.
Nobody's
going someplace.
Down this road before.
Yeah, just going down the food store. Yep.
Well, imagine, Chaz, also, when you're going to an event like that, you're pretty sure it's time limited, and you can say, hey, you know, if this goes sideways, I'm probably going to be able to get through it because I'm a pro. I've done this kind of stuff before. Imagine if you go into that event, you didn't know if it was ever going to end.
Yeah.
And you didn't know how it was going to go.
Gotcha.
Wow.
Yeah, those are long
events. You know, I mean, I think, you know, and not only that, we've kind of lost human contact. And I think one of the things I've noticed more than anything else is, you know, kids are home, and of a certain generation, you know, the I generation, they lived with, you know, more of their communication via the internet and texting and, you know, social media. And what we're seeing now is an entire population, for the most part, are dependent upon that. Hmm. And so, you know, you thank goodness, because we'd be completely isolated. But I think people
Can
are
you
so
imagine?
Craving, well, they're craving, you know, human connection. And what we're finding is that the quality of the connection via social media and things like that, even with Zoom and all these things that we have that are extraordinarily helpful, it's just, it's kind of cheap communication.
Well, you still want an old-fashioned hug, you know, like you still want to...
The kind grandma gave me was really awkward.
Yeah, sure.
The
and
wet
how
ear.
Do you think you feel
yeah,
exactly right.
How do you think you feel if a hug might kill you?
Yeah, I know.
That's a killer
so
hug.
Weird. You know? But based on what you're saying, it had to be really interesting for you and what you do when New York just kept ramping up and getting worse every day, right? Because there seems to be a like kind of an end in sight, right? The numbers are going down.
Yeah.
We kind of figured it out. It could still get bad, but we know it could get better if we do all the
do
stuff
right
we
thing.
Already did.
Yep.
Right? So that had to be like bananas, right?
Yeah, and but I'm not seeing, I actually see, as things are opening up, I'm actually seeing an increase in anxiety. I'm actually seeing an increase, and so much of what I work with families, and I work with a lot of, you know, late high school and through college age kids, and they don't know if they're going back to school. Mm. They don't know if they're starting new jobs. They don't know if they're, I mean, so there's no, when that uncertainty exists, families don't know what they're going to be doing.
Right.
People don't know if they ever want to go back and live in, you know, highly populated, you know, population density areas.
Right.
Now, do I think in 5 years this might feel very, very different and people will forget that this ever happened? You know, I think our memories are very short. But in the near term, the levels of anxiety are, I don't see them going down at all.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's.
But no, I don't.
Anxious.
Plus, you know, think about what types of things people do when they get really anxious or they get depressed.
I break things.
Drink.
Well, you know, substance abuse, a lot of marital conflict, a lot of extraordinary conflict within the family because there are people home.
Yeah.
Who never used to be home, like dad.
Too much time together.
Like, smoke a like pack kids. Of cigarettes, yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with no routine and no end in sight.
Ew. That sounds dreadful.
And but there is a brighter side to this.
There is.
There are a lot of, you
I
know.
Like bright sides.
Give us a bright side.
Well, I will. I cannot tell you how many clients have said to me, you know, when I almost hate saying this because I feel guilty. Because so many people are suffering and dying, but I have never enjoyed a family dinner so much in my life. People are having family dinners again. People are sitting around and talking for hours.
Annoying, isn't it?
yeah. Well, I mean, for some people, yeah. I mean,
stop talking.
I mean, there's also,
right.
There's so you know if you take a drive around some of these local towns here, you see something that we haven't seen. In decades, unsupervised play. You see little kids out riding bicycles.
Oh yeah.
You see people out. You know, just walking. You see people who are not supervised, who are not on the. They're not on the clock.
This is a good point because I noticed this the other day. I'm driving down the road and I see a family walking together, and it should be something. That you see all the time.
Yeah, usually the car broke down.
That's weird.
Right.
It's rare.
Yeah.
So it's weird.
Yeah, my family, the car broke down. We all walk together.
Right. That's the only time we all walk together.
You kids stay inside. Daddy forgot to put antifreeze in the car again.
Right. Yeah.
So can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
No math, right?
How have you guys dealt with it?
I have to tell you, like, my routine is pretty much the same except for weekends. So I've been very fortunate. It's the people who call who are struggling, that stays with me when I leave, and I worry about them.
Oh,
yeah. Because we have first contact, and to terms of how things are tough for folks out there, we just took a bunch of calls for an employment attorney. And what a horrible situation to be in when you can't, you know, there's this these backup things in place to help people.
Right.
And then now it's just nothing but a nightmare.
Yep.
You know, so that bothers me. Jennifer works at a hospital, but, you know, they're it's like the best hospital to work at. So they're very, very safe there. But, AJ, how about you?
I've drained about 15 bottles of vodka and about 5 cases of cigars.
Right. So normal weekend.
You give him my phone number.
I already got it. It's right in my garage.
Ashley?
I just miss hugging my family, you know, seeing my mom and my dad. And
they keep saying stay away.
It's a lot of time with Eric, and I'm grateful for that, sort of. But also, I just miss my family, you know.
Phil?
Sure.
I've been sleeping a lot more than usual. So if I got like 6-7 hours, usually that was enough for me.
Are you a bear?
6-7 hours, I'm good.
Have you seen his beard?
That's and true. Then lately, I need more like 10 to 12. They don't have to necessarily all be together. But like my naps that I take in the afternoon after the show have really gotten a lot longer. And then I go to bed earlier and I wake up a little later, even on the weekends. Like I'm sleeping a lot more.
Like a human mushroom. Yeah.
Hibernation.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I do like to try to focus on some positive aspects of this, because I think it's wonderful to hear people say, gosh, I miss my family. And there's a lot of people who talk about their families very differently. I mean, yes, I do work with a lot of people who say, if my husband doesn't go back to work soon, he's going to leave this house in a body bag. I also do hear people say, you know,
would that be a COVID-related death? I think it would be in Connecticut.
They write for Hallmark.
Yeah, that would count.
That's the I'll Kill You collection.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, I mean, you know, I often speak to clients about, you know, so when this all ends, and it will end, you know, how do we make sure we continue to have these family dinners? How do we talk about, you know, how do we remind ourselves of how important these hugs are and what we actually value about family and closeness?
Yeah. I just want to go out and
that'll
not
happen
be
for 5 minutes, though.
Yeah, when I hit the ground running.
Wait, at a funeral, what does everybody say? We need to get together more often.
Yeah, not happens. These times. Yeah.
And then it happens for a little while, and then we just go to our routines.
So. One less person, yep.
But I got to go. Dennis, it's always great talking to you.
Man.
It's great to hear you get out.
Some great points.
Yeah.
Routines. Dennis McAllister, licensed clinical social worker, and he works at McAllister Psychiatry and Psychotherapy in Norwalk. McAllister, see? And so he's
big time.
Works for a company that has his last name.
That's
on.
Cool.
So he must be some kind of important guy.
No anxiety there. No.
Well, and I work with my wife, who is my boss.
Gotcha.
She's a psychiatrist, and I'm a therapist. And clearly, that McAllister is her McAllister.
Gotcha.
But,
right, spelled
hey, guys, stay safe.
You
and
too.
Please feel free to check in anytime.
We will. Thank you, brother. You know what Sturgis is, right?
Yep. Biggest motorcycle rally in the world.
I was going to ask Ashley, but thanks for that.
Well, you should have said, Ashley, do you know what it is?
I said, do you? Okay. Anyway.
I didn't know. I'm really eager. I had a lot of coffee. I just want to help.
Yeah, no, I know. Thank you. You can just say yes, though.
This is true.
Yeah.
Letter from Phil.
All right, so go ahead. Fill us in now. This is what?
Sturgis is the biggest bike rally in the world, and it happens once a year.
In the world?
In the world, right. In Sturgis, North Dakota, I think it is.
South.
South Dakota, likely. That's why. That's
basically
why
the same.
That's how I missed the first one. Yeah. That's how big it is. It goes from north to south.
Yeah, AJ went, but he went to North Dakota.
This is why I need a bike. Yeah.
Where's all the motorcycles?
Yep. Just follow the noise. I can't wait.
I'm here for the motorcycle rally
someday.
I know it. It's scheduled for June 15th.
Ooh.
And now they don't know what to do, right?
So, yep. What do we do?
It's late to not know what to do now.
Yeah.
June 15th. Like, you would have to have rooms and all this by now, I would think.
Well, yeah. They'll come over.
The event, it's held over 10 days.
It's huge.
Oh, in August.
It's huge.
Is it June or August? I know nothing about it.
Yes. It's not June 15th, but people are already weighing in with their varying opinions. The event held over 10 days in August usually attracts more than 500,000 people to the area.
Damn.
It's a huge financial boost to the town.
Huge.
These residents had different opinions.
She'll go on. I mean, everybody's worrying about, you know, you got to take care of yourself. You have to be
cautious, but we have to still live. We can't just crawl underneath the rock.
I think we'd be foolish to invite the rally to town. All the other big events around the country are being canceled or postponed. I don't know why we aren't quick to do that as well.
See, she sounds uncool. He sounded cool, though.
Is she wrong? No.
Is cool dependent upon whether or not you have this thing?
Yep.
Like, August seems...
It's a while away, yeah. You're outdoors.
But where are we going to be? Like, when you have that many people, 500,000 people in a town.
Right. I think masks
how
and
do
stuff
you,
like that.
How do you sanitizer? Separate?
Yeah.
I don't know what it looks like either, but I'm just picturing a concert is a percentage of that, and they're like, nope, yeah. Not having those.
There's got to be a wet t-shirt contest. I mean, you're still doing that, right? I know it's 2020, but it's a whole different...
It's a wet sanitizer contest. They throw Purell on you.
Right. Exactly, I'm just trying to think of like...
Right. Gel wrestling, but it's actually, you know,
okay,
Germ-X.
Okay, right. Yep. There could be that.
Exactly. Germ-X, right? Stuff like that.
Right.
Yep.
Instead of gel, it's a pool of hand sanitizer.
And you get to wear those really cool masks that bikers wear. They have like the teeth and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, the skull. Awesome.
Ryan Meyer, who owns a grocery store in town, understands both sides of the argument.
I think we have to start with the safety of our people, our employees, is what I'm most concerned about, and the safety of everyone at the rally. I also feel that there will be a lot of financial heartbreak if we don't have some tourism here this summer.
That's someone that you don't go to if you want an opinion.
No, you don't.
Like, okay.
All right.
I got nothing.
Pick one.
Square one, yes.
Yeah, it's one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the town council is going to decide on June 15th.
Got it.
For the August event.
All right, they got some time. Wait out.
Well, they have less than a month.
A lot of folks go to that.
That's the problem.
But where's South Dakota with all this? Are they one of the states that are like, let it rip? Or are they a state like Connecticut?
Right. I mean,
I have a feeling they're on the other side because they don't really. Do they have a big city? Like
the population is 6,627 as of the 2010 census.
Right.
So half a million people on top of that.
Of that town.
Yeah.
Is this an annual event?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Let's do it next year then.
You tell them that.
I think that
you tell each biker.
Yeah. You stand in front of 500,000 bikers,
and you tell them.
Right? We'll just take a little break this year and come back next year.
Like, what happened to Ashley?
I'll tell you what, if this town doesn't do it, another town close by is going to say, we'll do it.
Yep, exactly.
And then you have you run the risk of losing it.
Yep, forever.
Can't everybody just play nice for a little while? Like, let's just sit this one out. It'll be back next year.
Yeah, but somebody on the other side could say, can't we all play nice? Let's do it.
Yeah.
But then you have the idiots that wear the mask on their mouth and not their nose.
Right.
Like, you know that's going to be a problem.
Right. Well, don't go.
Yeah, but there are... I'm getting so upset.
You just spit all over yourself.
That is so
and the
unsanitary.
Microphone.
You're not at home anymore.
That is
you
so unsanitary.
You should just wear a mask all the time.
Put a helmet on her.
I'm sorry.
The girl needs a muzzle.
I couldn't even... It was so much. I couldn't even...
Wow.
What the hell just happened to you?
I don't know.
She completely shut down.
She just imploded.
What?
Are those words?
Are you drunk again?
It was so much spit that I couldn't even like play it off like it didn't happen.
No.
You're supposed to use a hand sanitizer on your hands and drink it.
Oh. Happy to be back, are you?
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.